James Cook did show up and was fully participating in practice during training camp. Until today, he was asked by reporters repeatedly if he was practicing today, if he was practicing tomorrow, what was going on. Cook continued to say the word simply, business. My understanding of where things stand here is, again, these sides have been in talks for a long time. They have not been that far off, but this is kind of like fourth and goal in the AFC Championship game. Is James Cook going to get them across the goal line? Are the Bills going to be able to do their part to back it up? This is not a situation where the sides are completely breaking down. It does make some sense if James Cook has these contract negotiations hovering over his head that it would make sense for everybody to not have him practicing when he's not completely necessarily locked in solely on football.
And then he goes on to say, we've seen injuries happen.
This is
good stuff. 803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. What do you think about this? Like, I've got a couple comments in the chat and a couple comments on Twitter. And I'm just kind of, I don't know, Joe. I feel like I'm over here saying, I know the headline of the story is Cook didn't practice. The rest of it from Pelissero sounds like a deal's close. And even there, this is not a situation where the sides are completely breaking down. It does make some sense if James Cook has these contract negotiations hovering over his head, that it would make sense for everybody to not have him practicing when he's not necessarily locked in solely on football. We've seen injuries happen around the NFL. Doesn't that sound like a guy? Doesn't have to be true. That sounds like a reporter telling the side of the story of he's close, he's not going to get hurt right before he signs a deal guaranteeing him $25 million.
Yeah.
I don't know. And meanwhile, you know, you know how this has gone with Cook. Cam tweets in, I've never seen so much attention on a player who plays 40% of the snaps, whom's replaceable AF, you know what that means. Unless you're Barkley or McCaffrey, you're not influencing the win total. You can say that all you want. Pelissero says they're close.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a part of me, though, that is like, yeah, I'm with you, though, on 40% of the snaps. Little bit replaceable because of the position he plays. And, a realization, though, of like, okay, they're really going to pay this guy. Because that does make sense. That if there's a deal on the finish line, that maybe that is why he's not practicing yesterday. That he doesn't want to get injured right before the big contract comes in. And
if that was the case, just for a moment, what would he say to the question, how come you're not practicing today? What would the answer be?
Well, he wouldn't say, I'm signing today. You know, he wouldn't be that upfront with it. And he wouldn't, you know, I guess they could make up an injury. Like, the quad's a little tight or something. He could do that. But, you know, the one word business answer I think can fall under that category as well.
Business.
It's still kind of unbelievable to me that they will pay him. There's something that just makes me think. But here's where I think I'm believing that right now, like, what would the odds tell you today? Like, if odds on James Cook signing had shifted from last week at this time to right now, where would they have shifted to? A deal being more likely, right?
I think so.
That's where I would say, because a week ago, last week, out of my mind. Like, this is over. James Cook is here. He is going to practice. He's going to play this year on the final year of his deal, and we will broach this subject again after the season. Like, that is what my mentality was on James Cook up until yesterday. Right now, I've got, they were close on a deal, and he's holding out, or he's holding in. Those two things together make it sound like, one, they were pretty close, and two, Cook is at a point where, like, he's still pursuing the money. Like, this is still active, and I thought that it was more dormant. And I think right now, him playing on the final year of his contract feels like the least likely outcome.
Right. 803-0550. All right, so we've got Cook. We've got a high ankle sprain for Shakir.
Yeah.
And
tough.
The injuries at receiver, it's so lengthy. you know. By the way, we'll have Brandon Bean coming up in a little less than an hour. The Bills general manager will be seated with us here at our table at St. John Fisher at 7:30. I tweeted that out last night. Let's just say the replies are they're expecting a show. I don't know that we can deliver the kind of thing that people are expecting, but we'll see. But on the injuries, so Shakir's hurt, Samuel's hurt.
Yep.
Of course, Shavers got hurt and has come back.
Yep.
But man, it's a lengthy list. Caden Prather is hurt. Josh Palmer didn't practice. So it's Keon Coleman and Elijah Moore and Christian Wilkerson out there.
Even Moore. Moore was out for a
Moore
couple
was
days,
out.
And then he's back.
Alec Anderson is out. Cedric Van Pran Granger was out yesterday. Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp with injuries.
Yeah.
Both safeties missing. So, man.
A lot of them. And a lot of them at receiver. I mean, if Shakir were to be limited at the beginning of the year, or, hell, even miss an opening game, or, like, I don't think that's what we're headed for. But I was with some friends yesterday, and someone asked me, who if he's out, who's his backup? Like, who's the guy that plays in the slot? Who's the guy that plays his role if he is ever to be missing? Because last year, we never really got that tested. He was healthy. He missed one game, I think, early in the year, right? And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, I mean, is Curtis Samuel healthy? That's the problem, right? Because Samuel would maybe be my answer. He does some of the yak stuff Shakir does, and he's a guy that's played out of the slot a lot in his career, but I don't know that you can trust him to be on the field, so I guess I'll go with Elijah Moore would be the guy.
Yeah.
If Shakir were to ever miss time, that maybe Elijah Moore, who I thought more of as, like, oh, he'll bump out on the outside because that's where he's needed and downfield speed, but he definitely has played more in the slot in his career. He's done both, but
they are better prepared to deal with Shakir injury than before, right?
Yes.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah,
better,
sure.
Better prepared for it.
Yeah. How many guys could you play in the slot and feel like middle-of-the-field routes? Kincaid does that from tight end, right? And
you'd wonder if they would do it with Coleman finally.
Coleman, everyone seems to think, has that skill set. We just haven't really seen it. He played 7 snaps in the slot
yep.
last season.
Not many.
So you could try Coleman there. Samuel and Moore have both done a lot of it in their careers. Palmer has done it. It feels like, not to say Shakir is, like, same thing with the Cook comment, not to say Shakir is replaceable.
No, he's very important.
But I feel like I got a list of 5 guys that can all help fill in if he's out.
He's super important, Shakir. Maybe the way that he's, I don't know about most important, but I like to point out that he gets a lot of engineered touches where
right.
they get him the ball on those quick hitters and try to help get him an opportunity to use the yak skills that he's got. So if he's out, sure, there's the connection with Josh, but then there's the designed touches, do those now go to Kincaid, to Coleman, to Cook, to Josh Palmer, whatever. And 11 personnel, the way they've been rolling out their receivers, when they have 11 out there, it's the 3 receiver sets. It's Palmer, Coleman, Shakir. And if you're going to play a game without Shakir, I don't know if you're more likely to just slot somebody in there.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Or if it's, you know, we're going to play a different formation a lot this week. It's going to be opponent-driven as well. We'll get a phone call in here. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Very good.
Good.
Good. Hey, is it a chance that we could trade James Cook, AJ Epenesa, and a couple ones for Micah Parsons? And before we get into that, happy birthday, happy 100th birthday to Marv Levy.
Yeah, happy birthday to Marv. 100 years
100.
Old, honored at the Hall of Fame.
They sung happy birthday at the Hall of Fame ceremony. That was
right.
Cool.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I don't think this is in the cards. I think, you know, I trust the Pelissero part of it, that they were close and, you know, that a deal is more likely today with James Cook than it was a week ago. If you're playing Madden, though, like, what does Dallas need? They need a running back. What else? What do you want to give them for? What are you going to need to give up for Parsons? Multiple first-round picks, absolutely. What do you need to get rid of to make the cap work? AJ Epenesa. So you did a good job of making the pretend trade there.
Yeah.
I just don't think.
Days without Epenesa being traded back to zero.
Right.
We got to set that. We got to make a new clock. It's got to be hours right. without since AJ Epenesa has been traded again.
Yeah. But one, I don't think Cook's getting traded at this point, and I don't think Parsons is getting traded.
Parsons, though.
I mean, I would do that, but I don't think he's going to move.
I don't think he's going to get traded either, and Jerry Jones basically said to Cowboys fans, don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
The thing about Parsons that could be interesting to me, and I've seen this kind of this take laid out about the Cowboys, is he's the one with A, the power, B, the platform. He's got a podcast. Like, he's one of the voices in the NFL. Yeah. We've talked about it before. Micah Parsons is like an NBA player in the NFL. Like, he is constantly media savvy. He knows what he's doing, and he seems to be in Dallas the guy that's finally calling the Cowboys on their BS to say, this isn't a professional organization, and I'm not going to deal with you. So whether he sits out or if he plays until the moment he can leave, you know, we've fallen for this before, Joe. I've fallen for this before. Myles Garrett writes a letter and says I'm leaving and then signs when the money's there.
Yep.
But Parsons, like, he has an opportunity to just say, like, I'll take your money, you foolish old man, until the moment you don't have the power over me, and then I'm not going to play for you because I think you're a joke. And that's happened before, right? Cincinnati is a team that kind of deals with this with Trey Hendrickson. Maybe he does that. All right, fine, one more year on this deal, and then I'm out of here because I think you're a joke.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones and the way the Cowboys run their organization, plenty of people already feel that way about how they do it. And here's Parsons, who could just finally be the guy that says, like, enough is enough. But I don't think the Bills are going to trade for Micah Parsons, personally.
I bet they want to. I just don't think they can.
There's would they want
how
to.
Would
there's
you, how there's, would you make that count?
There's would they possibly pay the price. I don't.
I mean, they have been searching for him for a decade, haven't they?
Well,
everybody's
been searching for a player that good forever. The question
is,
who's willing to give up two firsts? You know?
You don't think they would give up two firsts for the perfect pass rusher?
I don't know.
They gave him $100 million for a guy that was 10 years older than him.
That's right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. If you want to give us a ring, coming up, Sal, at 8 o'clock. And, again, 7:30, Bills General Manager Brandon Bean here on WGR.